Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Over the Rainbow Show with your host Bob Brown on Friday the 15th of July 2016 at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 o'clock Pacific Time and 8 p.m. UK Time. And to all the listeners from around the world, the number to ring the show is 347-539-5367. And from the UK, 001-347-539-5367, and the chat room is open. Well, on the last show, we had a bit of problems with the chat room, but it's working all right today, so you can always click on the link on my timeline. That will take you to the show, and if you scroll down, you'll see it'll say chat room, and you can sign into the chat room and leave a message in there. Well, there's a couple of things to tell you. I'm going in hospital on the 19th of July. That's Tuesday the 19th. I'm going in for an operation on my left knee. I'm having a new knee put in. It's not a bad operation, really. I've got to travel about 60 miles to my nearest hospital because I've got a bit of sleep apnea. So another hospital I was going to didn't want to deal with me. I was having an epidural in my spine anyway, so anyway, besides the point, I'm going in on Tuesday. Hopefully I'll be out on the Wednesday, so there won't be a show on the 20th, Wednesday the 20th, but there will be a show on the Friday the 22nd. And so hopefully I'll carry on as normal after that, because they want you to get up and walk around and do your exercises every day. So that's a good thing anyway. And a good friend of mine called Paul Sinclair, he's got a book out called The Truth That Leaves No Proof, Truth Proof. And it's about the mysteries what's around the east coast of northeast Yorkshire, especially where I live near, but I see there's planes gone missing, there's people gone missing, there's quite a few different animals appeared. There's a black panther being seen. Oh, there's all different mysteries what surround that area. So that will be a good read. It's been out on Kindle, but now it is, in another week, it's coming out in book form. So look out for that. Well, I've got a really exciting show tonight. I've got a good friend called Terry Ling on tonight. Terry is an assistant state director, field investigator, starting Florida. She's a Florida UFON. And Terry does all sorts of things, demonology, paranormal. What she hasn't done is, well, what can you say about her? Can we please welcome Terry Ling to the show? Hello, Terry.
Hi there. Thanks, Bob, for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. For some of the listeners in the UK, can you just give us a brief outline about yourself?
Well, sure. You pretty much covered it, but I am the Assistant State Director here in the United States in Florida for the Mutual UFO Network, and I'm a field investigator. I'm associated with the STAR team. I am also a paranormal investigator, a demonologist, and a certified reverend, so I'll be praying for your knee pain and your upcoming surgery.
Oh, thank you.
And I have quite a bit of interesting phenomena that happens almost on a daily basis. It's just part of my life. It's a little different. I am unconventional for the most part, so I've heard. And it seems that because I'm open to extraterrestrials as well as spirits and spiritual happenings, that sort of thing, high strangeness, I do have a lot of interaction with it. But it isn't anything that I've ever tried to conjure up. It's something that actually happens and has been happening my entire life. So what seems to be paranormal to most is pretty much normal for me.
I can see that as well. So I can feel lots of energy coming from you as well.
Good. I hope it's very positive energy.
Oh, it's very positive energy. Yeah, lots of energy around you. How did you get involved with MUFON and became assistant state director?
Well, it was actually a very spiritual happening. I was sitting at home in 2008 and in Florida, and I wasn't associated with MUFON, had never even heard of it. And I had a voice speak to me audibly and say, go to the computer and report your sighting. And so I did. I just got up. I went to the computer. I typed in report a UFO experience, and MUFON came up. And that's how I actually got involved with them. They literally just popped up. So the point here is that I was directed. I was led by a voice that spoke to me. And I believe that was an extraterrestrial interaction with me that was set to change my life. I had had an experience in 1979 where I actually saw a UFO hovered over a railroad track on my way home from work. And I also saw an extraterrestrial in an additional craft. So there were two crafts there, but initially, I didn't know that until about 29 years later when I did some regression therapy with a well-known, excellent regression therapist that is well-trusted. So this all happened, and I went onto the MUFON site when it said, you know, report your happening, which I did. And then I pretty much forgot about it. MUFON contacted me, and they looked at what I had to say and my report. And then they let me know that there had been many other sightings of that same craft that I saw that night. So it was a craft that had been seen over the Florida skies previously, and to me it was the first time I'd ever seen anything like that. So as it set back in 79, I was a very strong Christian believer, and this did not... Yeah, this did not jive with my belief structures at all. So I had to readjust my thinking and take a harder, more honest look at what was really happening in the world. I figured I'd maybe been lied to by, you know, mainstream doctrinal Christianity. And it took me a while to accept that, because that's not an easy thing for somebody to accept, that you're wrong and, you know, you've made this horrible mistake. And I was 27 at the time, so it was very disturbing. But then after I had reported it and I had spoke to the people at MUFON, I literally forgot about it for 2 years. Then in 2010... the same voice came to me and said to me audibly in my living room, go to the computer, revisit your submitted report. And I knew exactly what it was talking about. And I got up, I went back to the computer, and I typed in MUFON, and it came up, and that's how I got involved. So twice I was led back to MUFON. That was not a coincidence. I really believe that it was part of my spiritual journey. I truly believe that we are all spiritual beings on a human journey. We're human here instead of spiritual, you know, just all spirit. So we've taken on this body and we're here and we have things to know. Maybe not necessarily to learn, but to definitely know about who we are. And so my knowing started then, and I researched and researched and studied the extraterrestrials and figured out so many things about what had happened to me, because they did take me on board their craft. They did speak with me. They did kind of give me what you would call a data dump. You know, they ingested much information in me, but it didn't make sense when I got it because I didn't believe it. So it took me 29 years later to start really interacting with them on that type of level.
So did you, I suppose you found it very difficult in the beginning. It was something like a computer all mixed up. And I'm ready to download into you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you first started out on this venture, or should I say, getting to know yourself as well, besides knowing extraterrestrials, but knowing yourself in deep down as well, and thinking, is this true or not true? Especially talking about your religion and being a Christian as well. How did you find, did you mix both with it or did you just go another way?
Well, I saw that God was who he said he was, but he's so much more than what the church allows him to be. Even though he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and he is God, the Almighty Creator, he's so much more than that. But that's a personal revelation that each person has got to take on their own. It's really not something that you can go to find out. You know, it's a study issue. It's something that a person has to go within. And I would compare it much like, look at yoga. You see a person that might weigh 215 pounds and they should be 115 pounds. You start the regime of yoga, and it's slow going, but eventually you stretch your body into the appropriate size and shape it was meant to be. This is spirituality. You come to know God, and then he begins to mold you into that person that you are meant to be. And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, you might get salvation overnight, but that, what's salvation? You know, define salvation. You have to figure it all out. It's a personal revelation. So, you know, it increased my understanding of who God really is. He's not just the God of a Bible. He's so much bigger than that. Although his story is there, it's in many things. It's in all of creation. It's in starfish. It's in the stars. It's in the sky. It's in the cosmos. It's everywhere. You can't put him in one place and say this is God, because he's so big. He's so other than we are. And the extraterrestrials are very aware of him. They know this. And they have deep reverence for him, the ones that I have been involved with. I will add, though, as a postscript to that, that the actually not all of them. The reptilians are actually not agreeable to many things, but the tall whites are, and absolutely the grays. But there are the reptilians, and they have an agenda of their own. I don't know that they're dependable on any level.
How did you find it when you went into their craft?
Well, it was definitely nothing from 1979. It had advanced technology. The walls were the light. Light was literally emanating from the walls. And in our homes and in our offices and hospitals and the such, the walls don't glow. But within that craft, the walls were the light. And everything was like it was. It's kind of hard to say. Everything was like pre-molded. There were no harsh edges. There was nothing that could harm you. There was nothing there that really didn't need to be there. Just the light source and something that I was laying on. And there were two small gray aliens at my ankles. And then the tall white was at my side. And he spoke to me, but he didn't use a mouth at all. He didn't have a mouth, and he did not have a nose, and he didn't have ears, but he had huge eyes on a very large cranium, and it was nothing like I'd ever seen. He was very ugly to me. Although I was not afraid of him, he was very ugly because I'd never seen anything like that. And he spoke to me very matter-of-factly. He said, "We will not harm you, and we will not take you." And my first thought was, take me where? Where would you take me? But, you know, I mean, I was trying to reason the experience, which it was beyond reason. They had chosen me to reveal to, and I'm sure that it was for a time in the future, because it didn't mean anything to me when it happened. It just didn't mean anything to me. So, you know, that's neither here nor there, really, but I think that each person that they do introduce themselves to, there is a reason for that. There's something that the person needs to know.
Yes, I'm sure it is. And could you read his mind, or could he read your mind?
No, he could read mine. I really could not read his, although what I was... I was more feeling than knowing that he wasn't going to harm me. And I didn't scream or run. I stood and faced him, even though it was very difficult. But I came in peace. I wasn't throwing anything or shooting anything or, you know, anything. I wasn't even yelling obscenities. I mean, nothing. I came as a peaceful entity myself, and he received me peacefully and returned peace to me, and I could feel that. I think that's a lesson for today. You know, they say you are what you eat, but you are also what you do. You know, so if you come in peace, you'll be received in peace. If you come in anger, you'll be received in anger. That's kind of a no-brainer.
Did you feel love around you?
Did I feel what around me?
Love and peace.
Yes, I did. I absolutely felt very peaceful. And I wanted to go with them when they left. And after the craft did leave, because it's a very profound experience that I had, I've written on terryling.com, the blog spot. I've shared a lot of my personal experiences. There is well over 100. And I add to it all the time. As time allows, I'll sit down and have another remembrance of something along the way. I just opened up some journals today from when I was 2011, so I'll be writing some of those here soon on terryling.com. But, you know, I just really believe that they're here with us. They've always been here with us. They've always interacted with us. I am well aware that our government knows about them. Your government knows about them. You know, they're worldwide, and they won't interact with us much.
Yeah, do you think there will be a disclosure anytime?
I think that they've chosen disclosure to be one-on-one. I don't think that they're concerned with our countries, our policies, our politics, our leaders. I think they look at that as ego trips and, you know, man-made appointments of men. They don't recognize any of that. They have a different government, and it's a peaceful, it's a world peace government. It's not about, it's just not about popularity and votes and all of this. It's so beyond it all. You know, people are so caught up in what they know, and what they know is mostly lies.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad.
I totally agree what you said there as well. People have different opinions about everything, and a lot of it can be hearsay as well. So-and-so says so-and-so, and then what it does, it widens the gap and gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
And then they can say, oh, they're coming down, they're going to blow the earth up, and I think, no.
Well, it's all ego and pride.
Yes, it certainly is, Terry. You know, I've seen UFOs myself, and like you say, some people, I'm not saying you're a chosen one, but they come to people who don't want to give them any harm. It's a venture. It's getting to know them and to know you. And I know for a fact you'll never harm anybody in the world. And they know that. And they want to interact more with you. And they will in the future. You'll go further afield as well.
Right, because I've heard so many people say, why don't the aliens do something about this? Well, why should they? This is man contending with man. Pride contending with ego, contending with personality, contending with nonsense, with unknowing. Men don't know. This is a spiritual realm. We are spiritual beings on a human journey, and this is a spiritual realm I'm talking about. It's a different dimension. It has nothing to do with men and their foolishness. And I mean women as well. Don't think I'm coming down on men. I'm not one of those. I love but I'm just saying, you know, from the biblical terminology, men, you know, but women as well. So these things go so much higher in the spiritual realm. They're on a vibrational level, which is something I felt from the time I was a child. And you know, I do believe, because I am involved in demonology, there is a demonic level, there is a negative to the positive. You know, like there's a black to a white, there's a yes to a no. These things exist if we believe them or not. It doesn't matter if we believe them. Really, they're here. There is a good and there is a bad, period. And that's easy to see. I mean, you know, especially if you look into the happenings of men and the world news, and you look at all these things, it's people who are not awake. They really are not awake and aware of what's going on in reality. And there is no way to wake them up until they've been chosen or called. And if they don't wake up, there's, you know, you can't make a horse drink. You can bring him to water, but you can't make him drink. And you can bring a man to enlightenment, but you cannot make him think. You can't. It's a process.
True as well. Yes, it's so true. I remember going back 6 months ago. I was sat on my own in here, contemplating things, what's happened in the past. I opened my eyes, and Jesus was in front of me. He just came out of the blue. He just came in front of me. It looked as though he nodded, and he just went away. And I thought, you're never on your own. There's always somebody around you. So never be afraid. And I wasn't.
Right.
And, you know, I felt so peaceful after. And I thought, you know, he's around. Joshua, he comes and goes. And we've all had that feeling sometimes when you feel as though you're on your own, but you're not. So I'm just telling people out there sometimes when things happen for a reason sometimes, but he's always around to help. And he's up there as well. And I'm sure you've felt him as well around you.
Oh, absolutely. All the time.
He gives us lots of love. He always does. And he guides you and helps you into the another world as well.
Exactly. I had somebody ask me the other day, why do bad things happen to good people? And my reply was so simple. It's because when it rains on everybody. It doesn't only rain on bad people. It rains on good people too. So you have to define bad. Sometimes what appears to be bad or horrible even is something that changes us. It wakes us up. And I do believe that when anything negative happens to us, it's a call for us to wake up and see what is the spiritual implement here. What is really happening? Why are we going through this? What in me needs to change? I can't change you or anybody else, but I can change me. I'm the only thing I can change. I'm the only one I can do anything about, you know, and you can't change me. So when people say, well, this person made me do it or that person, you know, made me. No, you made the choice to do what you do because no one can change you but you. It's a much higher calling. It's a higher knowing. And I don't know. I don't believe that everybody's going to understand. I think some people are going to be left behind in it all. I don't think they're ever going to really come to a full knowledge, you know.
True. How did you get into demonology?
Well, I started in the 1970s, about 1973. I started working with a pastor from a Assembly of God ministry called Victory Tabernacle. And Pastor Don was someone who asked at a church, Sunday church meeting, who would like to accompany him on some of these prayer outings that he went to. And he explained that it could be a little hairy, that we were dealing with some very negative folks and some very difficult scenarios. And I raised my hand. I decided I would go and I would just check it out. And when I did, we went to a home where someone had done a drug overdose and become absolutely enraged at the name of Jesus. You could not even say that name. And this person would just fly off the handle in a frenzy, foaming at the mouth and screaming in agony. And you could see that there was literally demonic possession of this person. They were not acting normal. they had given themselves over to drugs, and the drugs took their toll and took them down and infiltrated their mind and caused all this dis-ease about their being. And I started seeing it for what it was. It was like the Lord unveiled my eyes to it. And then Pastor Don just educated me along the way. We went to many, many different things. I also worked with Message Ministries, going to help people in need and different ones. I did some, ministry overseas on the Mercy Vessel, the Good Samaritan, and saw people in third world countries that were really given over to, hypnotic trances that they would go into through voodoo and different things this. And so it became very clear to me what was happening. So I decided I would try to be a part of the solution, and I stayed with Don for a few years. He passed away after, I think it was maybe 6 years or so, that we were friends and going together, because you always take a man and a woman. You never just all men or all women go into some of these scenarios. So I was trained in demonology that way, and then I started studying it more and more. So for about 40 years, I really took it to heart. And also in the interim, the spiritual realm was coming to me, and I was hearing voices. I had seen demonic apparitions. I had had different things appear right in front of my face. I had things moving. I saw people who had passed away and had come to me to speak to me. Some I spoke to, some I cast out immediately. And it was a learning process of how am I going to deal with this? And then there was a fear factor too, because I didn't understand, you know, why isn't this happening to the guy next door? The neighbors aren't having these problems. Why am I? So, you know, this was another level of learning. So I embraced it and I grew into it and learned to come against my fears and learned to manage myself in all situations. And then I started seeing that I could help others. And that excited me, that people that were in fear or in pain or suffering from an entity that had come into their house, which, believe me, is very real. And normally it doesn't come into the house. It comes into the person. They don't really just live in walls. They live in people very often. And that is seen in all different types of biblical texts where, you know, Jesus was at the Gerasene tombs and somebody threw themselves down into the fire because they couldn't control themselves. And when Jesus spoke to the man, he said, "Who are you?" And the man answered, "We are legion." So you can have more than one demonic entity inside of you. You can have as many as 1,000. And in that story, just to finish it up, the Lord said, "Leave this man." And the demons actually begged him if they could go into a herd of pigs instead of just leaving and going back to Sheol Hades. And he allowed them to go into the pigs. And when they went into the pigs ran over the cliff and killed themselves. So, you know, that's the end of that story. But what I deduced from that was that people can have as many spirits within them controlling them as a puppy can have worms. So
do you think that's why some people have mental problems sometimes?
Yes, I do. I think that most things are spiritual first, and then you can look for physical second. But you can't heal a person if you don't deal with the spirit. You have to deal with the problem, and then you can deal with any of the outerlying symptoms of that problem. But there's an underlying core to that problem. I'm not saying that everything is demonic. What I'm saying is that in many circumstances, because we're so used to running to doctors, We don't do the hard work of finding the facts about what really is happening in that person's life, spiritually, mentally, and physically.
Physical.
The three in one.
That's so true as well. I know you say you've just bought a new house, and you're having problems there as well, aren't you?
I always have problems. Yeah, they seem to like to heckle me for whatever reason. It doesn't bother me. But yes, we were doing a recording in our studio and we picked up an entire sentence. It was none of us because the room was completely quiet. But on the recording, we have an entire sentence of this entity speaking in the room. So it's very interesting. And we've had a black mist hover in the living room next to the fireplace, and everyone saw it, including the dog. I have this little 4.5-pound chihuahua, cute as all get out, little lovey, and she started growling before any of us said anything. This little dog got up and started growling and barking in the exact same direction where we saw this black mist come out of the fireplace. And she was shaking so bad. She ran behind my legs, growling and barking and hiding. So I picked little Lovey up and I held her in my arms and I walked towards the fireplace. And I'm telling you, that dog tried to jump out of my arms to get away from me advancing towards the fireplace. But as I went towards the fireplace, she started scratching my arms so badly to get off of me. I had to hold her so tight, and I could see her head turning. She could literally see with her naked eye this entity. I could not, but I could feel the presence of this thing, and I immediately cast it down, and I sat in the chair where she was barking at and said, "Lovey, is this where the entity is?" And I'm telling you, she was just enraged with growling. So I knew I was right on top of this thing, and I, like I said, I just cast it down and cast it out in the name of Jesus. And the power is in God, not me. I'm nothing more than a vessel, a mediator between that particular entity. Yes, I'm channeling the entity of God himself. Excuse me.
It's strange how things come into your life.
Yeah, always.
But sometimes they either come in for a reason or they come in for you to work with them and to get them to cross over.
I do believe that they here to cross over, and they know I have the ability to cross them over, so that's why they come. They want out. They want an end to whatever it is that, and I don't understand all the different whys. Why is it like that? But it's okay. I don't have to understand everything. I'm not God. I'm just me. And as long as I'm an open and willing vessel, he can use me. But you have to have an open mind for this. You know, you have to stay in a place where you say, okay, I can't put God or anything else in a box and seal that box and say, there, I have it figured out. We'll never figure it all out here. That's not what it's about. It's about accepting and knowing, just knowing how we can fit in. I mean, if you hear anything I ever say, know that knowing is what it's all about, and understanding you in that knowing.
True, yes. I like that as well. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because it's a good job there's people like you around. There's not a lot of people around what want to go into that, into places like that and think, oh God, what's happening here? And why is it that? And why is it that? But it's nice for you to go in, calm, and just, you know, deal with the situation like other people would be too frightened to.
Well, you know, I have to say, Bob, I believe that people have a big, huge picture of Satan. and a tiny, tiny picture of God.
Yes.
Mine is the other way around. I have a humongous picture of God and a very tiny, tiny view of Satan.
Yes.
So he doesn't frighten me. He can slam all the doors he wants. It's just a door. He can do many, many different things because he does have some power. It's been given to him for a season, but only a season. God is the power through all eternity, through ages that will never end. I mean, just that statement shows very clearly that we have a very limited Satan and a very unlimited God.
That's true. It's funny, but a lot of people say about Satan and the devil, there's a devil there. The devil will get you. You go down there. You be the devil. And it's strange why people say that, isn't it?
Well, that's because they've been lied to, and they've believed the lie that he is going to get them. It's like a bedtime story. It's like a bad bedtime story. Like there's something in the closet. There's something in the closet or something in the bed.
Yes.
No, there is.
Yes, I know what you mean. I know what I mean. What's the most frightening thing that's ever happened to you? Or if it's ever happened to you?
Okay. Well, when I was 16... I was with some friends, and we were listening to records and sitting around at a friend's apartment, and I really wasn't supposed to be there because I was a little too young. It wasn't really something my mother wanted me to be doing, but I had kind of gotten away and gone off to sit and be with these friends and listen to music, you know, and they wanted me to smoke a joint that night for my birthday, because this was my birthday. And I said, no, I wasn't going to do it. And it just wasn't something I was interested in. And I don't smoke cigarettes. I never have. So, you know, it was just like, well, you know, that's just not something I would do. So they kept being very, very demanding, very, very demanding. And I said to them, you know, this is ridiculous. You know, I'm going to go. And they lit their joint and they laughed at me and they were going to sit there and smoke their joint. And all of a sudden, you know, we had like maybe 8 candles burning in the room. We were sitting kind of in a dark room and they were having their little joint. And all of a sudden, out of my left peripheral vision, I saw something moving over in the kitchen area. And I thought, gee, what's that? And as I focused on it, it was an ectoplasm type of figure coming from nowhere, materializing in front of me into a very vicious, horrific-faced, solid white demonic entity. God. It was so frightening. And the guy that was sitting there smoking the joint, he saw it and he jumped up to his feet and screamed. And the other person that was there with us turned around and looked at it and saw it as well. All three of us had a visual on this demonic entity, and it came right at me. It literally came at me. And I'm just sitting there looking at it going, are you kidding me? And it was so frightening, the face on this thing and the fact that it was an ectoplasm type of a misted form coming at me with a face like a devil. That was very frightening. I screamed and got up and ran out of that place and ran downstairs and stood in the front yard. And I was so afraid. And I said to the other people, what did you see? And they explained exactly what I had seen. And they said, it went all over you. And I said, I know. but is it there now? And they said, no. I mean, it's like getting a spider on you or something. You're trying to hit yourself to get this thing off of you. And there was no way of getting it off of me. It was just all over me. And so they said right there, you know, they didn't want to even hang around with me. They didn't want to know me anymore. They wanted to leave and leave me sitting there. And I thought, oh, my gosh, it's my birthday. And I'm being left alone because some weird thing happened on my 16th birthday. And as odd as that was, I found that that night my eyes were on fire. I mean, on fire. It was like I had a reaction to the ectoplasm. And I ended up in the hospital emergency, and I had to go see an ophthalmologist because my eyes were so bad. The clear coat that covers my eyes was hanging out the side of my eyelids from me rubbing. And they were pure red. It was horrible. And so not only had this thing come upon me, but it left a mark, so to speak, on me. And then I knew there's a bigger picture to this world. If I could have seen something like that, you don't read about that in the Bible. You don't hear about that preached from the pulpit. Church. You don't know other people that have had that happen to you. So I kind of kept that all private until I was working with Pastor Husted, you know, in demonology. And when I shared it with him, he said, oh, yes. He goes, absolutely, Terry. That spirit knew exactly who you were and who you would become. And it was coming against you even then. So now when I get up in the morning, I'm coming after them. They're not coming after me.
When you went to hospital, did anybody ask you why your eyes are like this?
Yeah, because I told them they were itchy because I'd been rubbing them. But no, I wasn't going to turn any of my friends in or tell anybody about the spirit because I really thought they would think I was crazy. And I'm clearly not crazy. You know, I mean, I've been in management for 40 years and I've worked for Honeywell Aerospace. There's nothing wrong with me. And I'm very healthy, very well balanced and mother of three. You know, it's just very odd that these things have happened my whole life. Even when I was little, things were happening. When I was 5 years old, I don't know how much time we have, not much, but I will say that
we've got another 10 more minutes yet.
Okay. When I was 5 years old, I was out in my front yard playing with my, you know, neighbors, the Beckers, and we were all getting ready to go play a little bit of baseball. And of course, you know, little t-ball with the little plastic bats and all. And I saw a man standing in the sky, and I ran in the house and I told my dad, there's a man standing in the sky. And my father did not believe me. And I thought, gee, that's weird. If I can't tell Daddy, who can I tell? And Daddy doesn't believe me. I wonder why Daddy doesn't believe me. I could never figure that. Like, gee, I saw something. I told him. You know, Mommy said I'm supposed to tell Daddy if anything ever happens. You know, you're supposed to tell your Daddy and your Mommy. But they wouldn't believe me. They couldn't understand me. So it was a conundrum of sorts.
When you said things like that to your family, did they think you were strange or did they think it's part of growing up, it's children playing games?
Yes, that's exactly what he thought. You know, he patted me on the head and said, okay, honey, go get ready for dinner. You know, I mean, he just literally ignored it. And my parents were not spiritual people, so it didn't surprise me as I look back as an adult now. You know, they didn't go to church. They didn't care too much about anything with the church. So, you know, and not that spirituality has anything to do with churches. It sometimes it just doesn't. You know, but I'm just saying I was raised more spiritual than even them because they dropped me off at church and took off. I went to church. They did.
Strange. It's usually the way around. It's usually them going to church and you're thinking, oh, I don't want to go today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not very well. I don't want to go today. I don't feel very well, Dad. Can I stop at home today? Or can you drop me off at Grandma's? Or it's strange that it happened the other way around. You was going and they didn't want to go.
Yeah. I think that they thought that it would be the best thing for the kids to go to church, and you know, they had us in a Catholic school and that sort of thing, but they didn't attend, really. Of course, they ended up in divorce and, you know, that kind of thing as well, too. But, you know, to
it's
each of them.
How things go like that in life.
Yeah. Later on in my mother's life, however, she became very spiritual and was very much awake. But as a young girl, she was in and out of the reality of spiritualism and what is really going on in the world. Totally sound
and
asleep.
Do you take after your mom?
Well, mother has passed away, and I only now speak to her in dreams when she comes to me.
I'm sure she's around you all the time.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. It's kind of funny because when I see her in my dreams, I go, oh, Mom, you're dead. And she goes, I know.
I like it when you say that. I know you're dead.
She says it all the time. I know. Like, hello. Yeah, I know it.
I like it. What do you got planned for the future?
Are you going to write a book
about all these?
I actually am in the process of doing that, and I'm using my blog, terryling.com, as kind of my basis for the book because it's my whole life in personal experiences as they happened, and I believe that that's the legacy I'll leave behind for, you know, my grandchildren and my children and that sort of thing. But what's coming up on the agenda here is I've got a MUFON symposium that is going to be happening in Orlando, Florida on August the 25th through the 28th. And I will be working in the interactions of all the different things that go on within MUFON and putting the symposium on. So that's going to be great. So we'll be at the Hilton Lake Buena Vista Hotel in Orlando, August 25th through the 28th. So if anybody listening wants a vacation, this is a great place to vacation here. This is paradise.
And do you meet other MUFON from different states as well?
Absolutely, yes. Uh-huh. We've got a lot of speakers coming too. Robert Hastings is our keynote. Paula Harris, she's great. She'll be there. David Marler, Erling Strand, Kathleen Marden, what a wonderful woman she is. John Greenwald, Robert Powell, Richard Thieme, Rich Hoffman, even Peter Robbins. It's so good.
Peter Robbins. I've interviewed Peter Robbins.
Oh, he's wonderful, yeah. Ben Moss and Tony Angiola. A new guy, Bill Schroeder, too. He's someone right from here in Florida, and boy, has he got a great story. Oh, my goodness. The extraterrestrial world is so interesting.
And I know you're a good friend of Mark Brickenhoff's as well.
Of who?
Mark Brickenhoff.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not a good friend, but I know who it is, yeah.
Yeah, Mark and Phyllis, yeah. I interview them quite often.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, they're lovely people. So you've got lots of plans for the future.
Yeah, so I'll be, you know, on my blog, and Enigmatic Anomalies also is something that I'm very much involved in, and I hope to get that going again. So that'll be EA News Updates, and I'll be hosting that, as well as doing the BFI, which is Bigfoot Internet.
Correct. You do a daily blog then?
It's not daily. I try to do as much as I can, but I have just moved, and so coming into the new home has had me pretty busy. So I try.
It's not. I know we're about 6 minutes. Can you let everybody know where they can find you?
Sure. Again, they can go and read the experiences of my life at terryling.com. And as far as any other thing, they can go to enigmaticanomalies.com. That's a lot of different things that I'm involved with spiritual awareness and high strangeness of all different types. And also to Florida MUFON, I have a meetup here that's www.meetup/Florida-MUFON. And people can be involved in seeing what we do here in the state of Florida if there is anybody listening in Florida. And that's pretty much it. I'm on Facebook. Please friend me. I'd love to talk to you if you have questions.
Yes.
And it's just my name, Terry Ling.
And if they see anything or something's happened to them, they can get in touch with you straight away, can't they?
Yes, they can. Mm-hmm.
Because I think sometimes people want to talk to somebody, but they don't know where to go.
Sure, I'm available. If somebody sends me something, inboxes me, I can definitely get back with them. I've done very much of that over the last 7 years.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's so good as well. It's so nice to speak to somebody who's had problems themselves, so they know exactly what to do, and it does help.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
there's always
thank you. So go on.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry. No, yeah. I was just going to say there's always an answer, and it's usually in the spiritual realm. But thank you for having me on today. I really appreciate the opportunity to share and talk with you.
Oh, it's so nice to have you on the show and talk about your experiences. And you know, there's lots of listeners out there who like to listen to things like this. Maybe before they don't like to listen, but there's so much out there what people see now. And it's so nice to talk about it, I think.
Yes, it is. Well, because it's part of what's really happening.
That's so true. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on the show. When write your book or whenever, you'll have to get in touch with me and we can talk about your book.
Okay, I certainly will. Thank you so much, Bob.
Because I'm sure you will do. One day you'll think, right, I ought to put all this into a book, and it'd be fantastic.
I really just want people to realize that it's really not horrible when these things happen to you. It's more normal than paranormal. We've just been taught wrong. Things are backwards.
Thank you for saying that as well.
Sure.
It's so nice for people to say that. Instead of being so frightened, and you get people saying, "I'm not going in that room. I can feel something bad in there."
Oh heck!
I'm getting there. I said, "I'll go in," and I have done. I've gone in on my own, and I've stopped there all night. And they say, "Oh, but you're still there."
Mm-hmm.
I say, "No, I'm gone."
Yeah, let me in there. Wait.
Yes. Anyway. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'm sure it's beautiful weather where you are.
Oh, yes, it is.
And it's coming up to about nearly 9 o'clock my time. It's been a pleasant day in the UK today. We haven't had as much good weather as what you have. Our summer seems to be shortened now. We've had lots and lots of rain, unfortunately, because the weather patterns changed around the world. Thank you again. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye now.
Bye. And I'll ring you sometime.
Yes, please do.
I will.
Anytime. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.